must be careful and judge in all things. We must protect ourselves. And the Lord said, those that are not for me are against me. Starting with Cain and Abel, all the way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, I've told you last week that life is about a multitude of decisions. There are a lot of decisions, and everything that we do is in that vein of judging. It's in that vein of examining and decision making. And this morning, I said, how do I tie this in and tell y'all about it? Because it's about God in our everyday life. It's about God in all that we do. And it says, judge that you be not judged. You need a towel, Sister Harris?
No.
It says, judge that you be not judged. But we have to learn that we have to get that beam out of our own eyes that we can see the judge our brothers and judge others. Because a lot of people, like I said, they'll give you that scripture in Matthew. The Bible says, judge ye not. But it says, with what measure you judge shall be measured unto you. And it goes on further in that chapter to talk more about that. So, like I said, we have to be careful in all we do and say. We have testimony services to start the church off each morning during the service time. And I tell you, in Revelation it says about we've kept our testimony. We have to be careful in all we say or do. We have to be circumspective. And I was thinking about Sister Harris the other night, and I was praying for her during Bible study because she was touched by a feeling of infirmity. In other words, she was in pain and, you know, she couldn't make it out or whatever. But I knew that there was going to be a problem. And I keep telling y'all, we have to be careful with everything we say and do because Satan is sitting there listening. And he comes to service, he comes about or whatever. He was here last week. And Sister Harris was testifying about how she had got up that morning and didn't feel anything. And it normally is racked with pain or whatever, but she was able to go about a natural thing. Satan's listening. Satan wants to keep that testimony, but he visited her Wednesday. And he said, well, you want to brag that you can come out without pain? I'll stop you from coming. Watch Satan. Be careful what you say and what you're doing. And what God does is open up our awareness and understanding that sometimes the enemy is right there in the house with us. Sometimes the enemy is within us. Paul said, when I attempt to do good, evil is right there present. That's why I was telling you, watch it doing good for people, though. See, because good, the highway to hell is paved with good intention. You try to do good, sometimes that's when people put it to you. That's when you fall into a world of trouble trying to help people. Genesis, the fourth chapter, we're talking about Brother Cain and Abel today. These were two brothers, but it was the beginning of where wickedness started at, where evil started at. It's fourth chapter of Genesis, and the two brothers were born. Some say they were twins or whatever, but I don't think that's paramount or that's germane to the conversation this morning. What is germane, it says that in the process of time, over a period of time, that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, they were church going. Cain was, may have brought about this idea because Cain was the oldest brother. Now, Cain was born first. Eve thought that Cain maybe have been the Messiah or the leader because that promised seed, she thought that was the promised seed that would overcome. In this day and time, the church is out there. There's a lot of different churches out there, and everybody's religious. Cain was religious. We see here that he probably influenced the total Abel. Let's take an offering unto the Lord. You see, the Laodiceans are very religious. They're not lazy. Today we have many of Christians that are offering up offerings to God. And I really, when people tell me about God, start saying something about God, that's what I was telling Deacon to be careful. It's, the hair rises up on my back then. Because if you know God, I'm starting to look for fruit. I start to look for fruit because he that is spiritual judges all things. We have to be careful with one's life and with our own life. We can place that on the line, trusting of being too naive with others. No matter where that person lies, whether even he's in your own family, be careful. The enemy could be right there in your own household. The enemy could be laying right there in the bed with you. You have to be fully submitted to God, submission to God. That would be my first point this morning. Because as I'm introducing this, the objective here is that, as I told you, that you either for Jesus or against him. So that with that judgment, you have to be aware, because Peter, John, and James, the sons of thunder, they had met some that was preaching the gospel, but they wasn't with Peter and them. And he said, do you want me to call down fire from heaven upon them? He said, be careful, you don't know what spirit you're of. Just because there's a wicked person, or just because there's a person of another denomination, just because somebody else is preaching or teaching and they're not with you, that don't mean you go up against them. But it also means you better be careful. It's just as careful as you going in the woods or something and somebody told you, he's got a bear in the woods now. He's got a lion in the woods. Aren't you going to walk circumspective in the woods? Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's out there to get you now. See, we didn't dismiss the devil like he's not a real entity, like the devil doesn't exist. That's what people today, the mistake they've made, they treat Satan like he don't exist, like he's a cartoon character, something to laugh at or whatever. Satan is very real and you better be aware. Submission, I told you, was my first point. Abel had yielded himself unto God, and his humility was shown in his life. Probably when Cain came up to him and said, let's make an offering to the Lord, he said, let's go along with it, let's do that or whatever. You know, a lot of times, just like Joseph, he got along with his brothers and things. It's a lot of times you get along with the people in the world or the people in church, the different people. It's a sign of humility. That's a person that's submitted unto God. Romans 12:16-19 says, live in harmony with one another. Be not haughty, in other words, self-conceited or self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people. It says associate with humble people. Be careful who you're associating with. Those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We don't know what happened with the two boys. Well, they probably was grown men at that time. We don't know how old Cain and Abel was when they was doing this. And Adam and Eve probably had told them what had gotten them expelled from the Garden of Eden. That it was disobedience to God, not listening to God's word. And say, look, we used to stay over there in that paradise. But now we're living in hell here. The ground is cursed. Everything has gone awry because we disobeyed God. Probably put a conscience. You know, a lot of times we do things to God or for God to soothe our conscience. Our conscience bothers us to get rid of our guilt or whatever. Cain was of a different person. Cain was a different type. As children of God, though, we have to be wise in all that we do. It says, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We have to really be wise and walk circumspective as children of God. Abel being of one of God's children, trusted his brother and loved his brother, but it seems as though he was a bit naive. He hadn't watched or observed his brother. He didn't know his brother was bonkos. He went out in the field. It says after God rejected that offering, listen to verse 5, it said, But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I'll go into the rest of that in just a second. But Cain was angry because God didn't. He left church angry. He left away angry. And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He murdered his brother. You don't have people in your family or people that you know that you say, I better stay away from around him. He got a temper. He probably shouldn't have been in the field with Cain. Probably Cain wasn't an easy person to talk to. Do you have relatives or people on your job or people you know ain't easy to talk to? Do you just accept everybody at point blank and just say we are all brothers and can we all get along? A lot of times you pick up a hitch, a stranger, or let people in your home. Them the very one that'll kill you. You have to be wise. You have to walk circumspectly. Apparently, Cain probably was stronger and much more virile because he was a tiller of the ground. He was a gardener. And he rose up and slew Abel. Like I said, that was kind of naive of Abel. See, Joseph, he knew how his brothers were, and he kind of stayed shy of his brothers. When you were growing up, did you have those people in your family? You say, well, I didn't see and observe them at different times, and it's times I'm going to stay back from them and watch them or whatever. You have to be wise in your everyday life. That's why a lot of people nowadays are leaving here. They don't have any common sense. They're not wise at all. They don't. They walk, oblivious to everything. And you may not live long doing that, trusting everybody. As I say, Joseph was aware of his brothers and their wickedness in how their disposition was. You remember, he was a person that was a godly person. And when he told what was going on, they say Joseph issued an evil report. But what it was, Joseph was a man accustomed to doing right. When you're accustomed to doing right on your job, in your home, or wherever it is, those that are wicked is going to hate you for doing right. You can see that on the political scene, in a church, anywhere, that's enmity between the children of God and the children of Satan. That's enmity between them, and God awakens us to start being aware that enmity. When we are born again, when God awakens you, he gives you a discerning, he gives you awareness, and you're not as trusting of people as you once were. Because the scriptures tell you that Jesus didn't allow himself to be trusted or given to man because he knew how man is. If you knew how man was, you wouldn't trust man so conveniently. You wouldn't trust man so far as that's why I tell you, be careful. Sometimes man will put you in a bind. That's why now a lot of times you have to have a contract. I don't know if you have a contract in what you're doing or not. The very ones that say they are church people are the very ones that will mess over you the most. You'd better watch it. You'd better be careful. Now that's a warning from the pulpit. See, it was a warning from the pulpit that God gave to Cain. When Cain offered the offering and God rejected him, he says, Cain looked at him, he says, but under Cain his offering he had no respect, and Cain was upset and angry, and the Lord said, why are you wroth? Why are you upset? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? But if you don't do well, apparently his works wasn't right. See, it was in what he was doing. Watch your words. See, the fruit, that's why I say, be careful of people's fruit. Watch their fruits. Do you know anything about their words? John told them to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. He says, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You need to put that attitude of yours in check. You need to start ruling over self. You don't have any self-control. You don't have any self-restraint. See, he had been warned. God had warned him. I wanted Abel to hear that warning. Did he see this and did he realize, hey, I better watch my brother. If he do God like this, think of what he'll do me. Think if your spouse, if your children don't follow, listen at God, why do you think they're going to listen at you? A person that won't listen at God, why would you trust that person? If a person play with God and their life's not lining up with God, why would you trust that person? If they lie on God and say they follow God but have contrary works. The problem is with Judaism. You better get that beam out of your own eyes and then you can see clearly to judge others. You better get yourself right. You're not seeing clear. It was Joseph's father who had put him in harm's way. Joseph's father was the one that told him to go to Dothan to see how the brothers was faring. He wouldn't have went out there by himself because he knew how his brothers was, that they despised him. It was the same with David. David knew how his brothers was. They was always picking on him because David was a God-fearing man. And when he had worked, the father had sent David out there to bring some cheese and to see how the brothers was doing. And they said, well, what you doing coming out here meddling? What are them few sheep here? Criticizing and talking about it. Like I say, the world, you can tell the world. That's why I say don't criticize. And don't always be cynical about people's intentions, evil surmising, attributing bad intentions upon people. But I'm not saying be naive, though. I'm not saying be naive, but don't be cynical. Judgment. God delivered Joseph from his brother's hand, but it took 20 some years or whatever, because remember, they took Joseph and they sold him into slavery. And he was in a, but see, it was all part of God's plan. God was preparing Joseph for something. God's preparing us for something. Those of us that are here now, be careful of who you say following God and who's not following God, because there are professors out there, people say that they're following God and love God, and their intentions is to pray P-R-E-Y upon you and upon others. You'd better be careful. You'd better pray P-R-A-Y to God and humble yourself to God. Talk with God, read and study His Word, because it's dangerous out there. Satan is trying to sift you as wheat. You'd better be careful. You got a pocket full of money. You got stuff. You'd better watch it. Somebody's trying to get that stuff. Sure, you got it. Somebody's trying to get it away from you. Sometimes those people, all the time, they're not very responsive to authority. They can't accept authority. They're not wanting to subject themselves. See, a pastor can tell of those in the church, they're really not his sheep. They got that loose spur on them, and he watches how he talks to them. He watches how he handles them because he knows that they're like a viper, that they hadn't been converted, and they'll reach out and launch after him. They'll get behind his back and backbite him. They'll get behind him and do harmful things. You better watch the people in church. That's why it says judgment starts at the house of God. It's got people in the church and don't have good intentions. When they leave out the church, they can't wait to get home. They can't wait to get around somebody else to tell what happened in church, who did what, what's going on, who asked this and what's going on. Always getting from under authority. That's how Cain was. He didn't want nobody telling him anything. When I told you he said that sin lies at the door, let me read that in another translation. It says, but for Cain and his offering, he had no respect. So Cain became extremely angry and indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry and why do you look annoyed? If you do well, believe me, trust me, and doing what is acceptable and pleasing, will not your sacrifice be accepted? And if you don't do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door, and its desire is for you to overpower you and to master you. See, they've been doing that in the churches and outside the churches all the time. This lines up with our theme of judging others. See, you have to watch those in the church that are not subject to God's authority. There are a lot of people not going to do. You can watch in their giving. You can watch in their living. Whether they submitted to doctrine. Who are they company with? You remember I said something about associations? Who you keep company with? How close are you to the people in the world? Who do you take counsel from? See, because the world is out there, oh, God says don't judge. Well, you know so much Bible. Let me see how much other Bible do you know. You know that scripture. Let me see, are you following and quoting any of the other scriptures? But that rebellious person can lead you right into rebellion themselves. And they always going against some church doctrine. I was talking about that Wednesday night and last week. That if you're not in agreement with the church doctrine that's being preached or teach, probably you ought to let the doorknob hit you and go find somewhere else where you line up with that word that's being taught. See, because he came to condemn sin in the flesh. And see, that character getting locked and fitted in. You rebelling and talking and doing all that in that church. Nobody made you join that church. Nobody made you do all these things. You volunteered. You came in and said, I'm willing to do right. Cain came before God and says, I want to do right. God told him what he expected out of him. And when you come into church, God's word tells you what he expects of you to do. You either line up with it or get out of line. But don't come in and fight against God and fight against God's word, fight against God's service, fight against God's people. Because then you're putting yourself in the hands of an angry God, a terrible God. See, the church is not preaching that. They preach a little meek, humble Jesus that wouldn't hurt a fly. But you don't want to meet this Jesus that his blood been shed and it's in that day of judgment, that time of judgment. You don't want to meet that one. When he comes back in judgment, you keep listening to everybody else outside with this unacceptable doctrine, not accepting what the Bible actually does say. God brought judgment upon Cain for killing Abel, didn't he? Now, sometimes being naive, following God sometimes will get you in a lot of trouble. Naboth, he had the inheritance, as he was talking about inheritance. And Naboth know he couldn't sell that inheritance. He know he would be going against what God said, so he told Ahab he couldn't sell that inheritance. Ahab's wife killed Naboth behind that. But just as Cain rose up and killed Abel, God rectified the problem with Jezebel. He judged Jezebel just like he judged Cain. For killing Abel, it was God that came back and judged. See, Abel didn't stoop to that level that Cain did. See, because Cain could have went out in the field and he could have said, I need help, brother, I need this. And sometimes, like I say, you're trying to help a person and they step right on you. They do you more harm than good. So I don't know why he went out there with Cain. But God uses that example. I look at it as a mistake. See, John the Baptist, I don't think he was supposed to tell Herod about the wife he had married or whatever. It caused him to lose his head. See, sometimes we have to watch what we're saying and watching what we're doing. So I don't know why, but see, God's going to justify that. Now, God's going to judge those things. You may be dead and gone. A lot of things happen. You may not be here to avenge yourself because God tells us not to avenge ourselves. Look at the 19th verse of Romans. See, you have to obey God's word no matter what's going on in the nation, what's going on in the church, wherever it's going on. What does God say do in those situations? Oh, I know how to defend myself. And you pop right off like Peter. When revile, you revile, and you're always popping off and saying something and defending yourself in doing this. Romans 12:19 says, Beloved, never avenge yourself. Never avenge yourself, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in Scripture, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing this, you will bring heaping coals upon his head. Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, see, when he says, don't be overcome by evil, that could mean evade the situation, get away from the situation. Cain, I'd like to help you, but I can't go out in the field with you. I can't do this or whatever. Sometimes you have to ask counsel of God what to do. Some things look good. Sometimes people look like they're about to relieve a burden, but watch it. Don't let that that burden that's being moved or that blessing turn into a curse now. Be careful. Be careful. That's what Satan's trying to do. You have to be circumspective here. So, don't avenge yourselves now. Wickedness will not bear the wrath that is to come for their actions. A lot of people, and I've heard this person, is always talking about people and criticizing people. When somebody says something to him or do something to him, he always crying, "You're all so fair, unfair to me. You never treat me right." But you always popping off and talking about other people and going on. But the first one to cry like a little woman, cry like a little baby that somebody ain't doing him right, ain't treating. The wicked it don't want to bear their punishment. That's what happened to the demons that was about to be cast. I said, "Oh Jesus, have you come to persecute us before the time?" It's always people, when you get ready to put the hammer down, they don't want to stand up to that. That's what happened to Peter when the servants say he was with him. Well, Peter knew what that was going to entail, what kind of punishment that was going. So he lied and said he wasn't with Jesus. He denied he ever knew him. But if you, as who it was, Beretta or whatever, if you do the prayer, be prepared to pay whatever it is, because you're going to reap what you're sowing. You will reap what you're sowing, Brother King. All of this going around gossiping and tail-bearing and throwing a brick hiding hand, you can't hide from God. Now, you may hide from the ones you're doing it to, but you can't hide from God. You can run, but you can't hide. Jonah could run from God, but he couldn't hide from God. Adam tried to hide from God. God knew where he was. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" It's like a baby when they do something and they know they didn't did it, and you're trying to toilet train them, potty train them, and they to do something, they go hide in the corner. So they know they didn't did something wrong. You know when you did something wrong. Like owing people. You know when you owe somebody. You go avoid that person like the plague. Listen to Cain. He didn't went up, murdered his brother. Kill and shed this blood. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And he lied and said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, we know that we are our brother's keeper, so he getting all smart with God. "Hey, I don't know. What you asking me for? Am I supposed to be keeping up with it?" The Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's innocent blood is crying out to me from the ground for justice." That's why it says, if you look in Revelation, you'll see the souls of the altar crying to God, "When you go avenge our blood?" Those people that you do right that don't avenge themselves, God's their avenger now. They did what God told them to do. You might have killed them. You might have did anything. You might have stole from them. He said, when people persecute you and do all manner of evil, you obey God. And God's going to pay them back. All that crooked work. See, that's why you have to trust and believe in God. Abel had faith way back there. So that's why I tell you, we believe in faith more than any word of faith, church. You have to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He couldn't offer the proper sacrifice and please God if he didn't have faith. You have to have faith. Faith that could move them out. But you have to have faith that God's going to pay that person back. David found that out. He says, "Simeon cursing me." He said, "Let me go take his head off." He said, "No. God must want him to do that. God will pay him back. Payday is coming. Whatever you're doing, whatever you say, you have to give account for every idle word you say." He says, "And now you are cursed from the ground. all them nice crops and things you raise, the ground is cursed for your sake. It was already cursed to his father Adam. He says, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's shed blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength. It will resist producing good crops for you. You shall be a fugitive and a vagabond, roaming aimlessly on the earth in perpetual exile without a home, a degraded outcast. He put it on him, didn't he? He put it on him now. We realize here that it was God. God knows the right judgment to do. You know, a lot of times you just kill a person or try to pay somebody back, and that might not be the right payment. That's why you say you let God pay him back, and nowadays the people come up with a lot of different ways to make people suffering or whatever. That just shows cruelty and unmercifulness in you. That shows something within you that's not quite right. If you stand to do an individual that, if you can inflict that much pain or harm on a person, judgment is about to fall upon this world. That's why we're reading this. You remember we in the book of Zephaniah, and the overarching theme is the day of the Lord. And I told you it's going to be great tribulation. God's going to come down on this world. He's going to come down like a hammer. Because this is Satan's world. You know, God, Satan is the god of this world. This whole political structure is Satan's political structure. If you read on Cain, Cain was the artificer of brass and metalworks and everything. This whole society that we have now was constructed by Cain's people. This whole world system was constructed. And so don't think of some prehistoric caveman or whatever. You have to see that all this came through the devil's work through Cain. Now, when Cain and Abel was coming up, you have to see multitudes of people up on the earth that they were, Adam and Eve were very fertile and the ground was giving forth and they were reproduced. It could have been hundreds of thousands of children Adam and Eve could have had in those 900 and some years they were born. We don't know how many children they had. So the world was populated during the time of Adam and Eve. They had been fruitful and multiplied. I don't know how many brothers and sisters Cain and Abel had. So you have to look at it. We don't know how old they was when this occurred, but that could have been hundreds of thousands of people at that time. So God's about to judge this earth. The day of the Lord is upon us. If you're not looking for it, you may miss it. If you're not in God, you may miss it. Listen to what Jesus himself had to say about this issue. About this issue of Abel now. In the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 35th verse, he says, as a result, you will be held responsible for the murder of all godly people of all time. Whether it was some slave on some plantation that you brought from Africa and you lynched him for nothing, you would have to give account. You thought it was gone, but it's coming up again. All of that wrong you did, all those unsolved murders, the sea will give up the dead, the ocean will give up the dead. All those that were burning house fires and all kinds, everybody's going to have to stand before God for the deeds done in his body. All those, you hadn't gotten away with anything. You might have got away with it before man, but not God. God got the record book there. He got the book. He says you have to give account of all the people from the murder of righteous Abel to the murder of Zechariah, son of Barachim, whom you killed in the temple between the sanctuary and the altar. I tell you the truth. This judgment will fall on this very generation. That's why I say the world is about to be judged. Because it is Satan's world. Satan is the god of this world. So every structure, every figure is going to have to be judged. That's why I say no political structure is going to stand. No law enforcement is going to stand. I don't know what happened in Baltimore with the guy in the back. What's his name? Freddie Gray or whatever? But God knows. I don't know what happened to the guy that was shot on the side of the road and they say the guy was right. God knows. God knows what happened with Trayvon. God knows what happened with everything that has happened. You have to give account for every item, all the gossip that you've done. You have to give account. What's done in the dark will come to the light now. If you have that kind of confidence in His Word, that's the faith Abel had, that God was the back of His Word. I better do what God said because God's Word applied to me. Now I got to get them things out of my eyes because God catch me doing the wrong thing. He repeated it in Luke now. Luke 11th chapter, the 51st through the 52nd verse. He says, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was murdered between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, charges will be brought against this generation. Woe to you lawyers, because you have taken away the key to knowledge of spiritual truth. You yourselves did not enter, and you held back those who were entering by your flawed interpretations of God's word and your man-made traditions. So through all of your laws, and you wouldn't bear them up. You made all these laws and traditions. All you preachers and lawyers and things. All that preaching and thing you were doing in the pulpit. All that you were doing in the courts and everything. You have to stand before the true lawgiver now. See, because what God's word calls for is that you do to another person. Or you witness against another person and it wasn't right. You will bear that punishment. You will bear the punishment you was trying to put up on them. So if you lied and say you seen this person doing that, that's the punishment God's going to put on you. God is not mocked. So you'd better be careful that, like I say, the evaluation, the decision, the judgment, you'd better learn how to judge others because you'd better learn who not to associate with and who to associate with, who to listen to that and who not to listen to that. Because you will have to give account. How does that happen? How do we learn to do that? By consecration to God. Consecrate it to God. That's the only way. He says, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Come out of the world. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it, Dick. That's the only way. This is why, you know, some people said that Joseph was a tattler bringing this evil report or whatever, but God, he knew he had to give account to God. What his brothers had did or whatever, he was in a position in which his parents had to be told or whatever. Sometimes our parents are in a position that they have to do what they have to do. Policeman, that's his business to judge you. That's his business, but he has to give account on how he judges you. You have to give account on how you're raising your children. You have to give account on how you spend your time. You have to be good stewards of your time. Responsibility lies with you. That's why I say judgment comes in various forms, and we have to make 10,000 of judgments a day. Whether I should wear this or not wear that. A young lady, a young man can choose to wear some sort of clothing that's very lascivious and cause someone to lust, cause someone to leave their family, cause someone to do all kinds of lewd behavior. But you can be judged for that. You have to be judged of everything that you do. Now, to be dedicated to God, I said you have to purge yourself so that you won't think the way others think. That you won't do evil surmising. Joseph's brothers came to him. See, they were still wicked. And Joseph knew this because God was telling him all about his brother. Because he said, what you did to me, you did it for evil. God meant it for evil. God turned it to good, I mean. God meant it for good. Now, his brothers, after the father died, this was their own conscience. Remember I say your conscience and guilt? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's why Joseph didn't have a spirit of feeling condemned. The reason a lot of times things bothering you is because that guilt is eating you up. Your conscience is eating you up. And their conscience was eating them up with their idea to Joseph. They didn't have a converted life. So they came to Joseph and said, you know, Daddy said to forget what we did to you and to treat us right. Joseph said, You know, he was hurt that they would even think that way. That I would throw stone for stone, that I would render evil for evil. See, Joseph wasn't like that. Are you like that? Do you go around leveling the score and paying people back? That's what this nation is headed for. That's what the leaders of this nation is causing and telling people to do. That's why God says the times is going to be short of the very elect would fall into this. For the elect's sake, he's going to shorten the day because this nation has to be judged. It's evil for evil. That's why God's shortening the time. But see, that those thoughts shouldn't cross your mind of paying somebody back. You have to realize God's going to pay you back. I'm not the paymaster. The wages of sin is death. And every sin and transgression is going to receive his just recompense of reward. God's going to repay you for everything you've done. You have to give account before God, not me. Now, even though these was going on, to be consecrated to Jesus, he says, when your enemy hungry, you do what?
Feed
him. But if your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. By doing this, you're heaping coals on his head. So you obeying God and you're able to overcome, and God's seeing your righteousness because, like I say, it was all because of disobedience that Adam and Eve got their children in those predicaments they're in. Now, you will suffer sometimes. There's a whole lot of suffering going on. And self not to be satisfied. But that's what you're trying to do. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. You want to mortify this old flesh. Because remember I said, sin has to be condemned in the flesh. You have to put self to death. Self wants to live good. And you can see people that are self-centered, that are haughty, that are arrogant, and high-minded. And when God's judge is showing them to you, that's why I say he that is spiritual judge at all things. You have to learn to start taking those steps back. Help them when you can, but you feed them with a long spoon. You have to keep your distance from them. It's like knowing how far you feed that pit bull, you have to know how far that chain can reach. Because if you step within that chain, he might get you. You have to know, but you need to feed them now. Don't kill him. Don't kill your enemy. Faith has a voice now. If you read about it in Proverbs, wisdom has a voice. It cried out. And the more you obey God, the louder that voice gets. Some people's conscience has been seared. Some people's conscience has been seared and they're not walking in faith. Listen at Hebrews 11 chapter. Third verse about faith's voice. What faith's voice is doing. That's how you heard what you had did his child. His child was crying to him. You pray and cry to God. I get up through the night crying to God a lot of times. In the morning I'm crying and praying. Praying is crying to God. Crying out to God. Petitioning God. That's why I say we need to have our prayers marching to God's door. How many of us got up this morning and prayed to God that he would feed us this morning with something by this pastor that would strengthen us and send us on our way and cause us to rejoice? It says, by faith, that is, with an inherent trust and an enduring confidence in the power and wisdom and the goodness of God, we understand that the worlds were framed, the universe, this ages and everything, were framed and created, put in order and equipped for their intended purposes by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith he did that, through which it was testified of him that he was righteous. In other words, upright and in right standing with God. And God testified by accepting his gifts. And though he died, yet through his act of faith, he still speaks. Though he died, he still speaks. Faith has eternal life. That's why he says, I have given you eternal life. Your desires don't die with you. You just sleep. God still hears those petitions. He still hears those prayers for your children and faith that you prayed for them. Even though you died and gone on, God still hears you saying, save my child. Do this for me, Lord. Do that. God hears, and He puts it right there. He has it recorded. He has given you eternal life. That voice that's always there. He's your high priest. God hears those things. There's in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah where we see where God tells them not to bring an offering, a gift to Him. Not to pray to Him. That's why I say He wasn't praying for the world. You better learn who God's against. So you petitioning God, trying to help the wicked, because now God has to come up against you. You helping the ones that should die. The ones that was given to the sword. And God's blessing you, and you turning against God in doing these things. This day and time, not just a voice of faith is being heard. There's a voice of mercy being spoken. There's a voice of mercy out there. 12th chapter of Hebrews, the 24th verse. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant that unites God and man, to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. You mean to tell me there's something that's better than Abel's blood? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been sprinkled by the blood? That's why we eat of the cup and drink of eat of the bread and drink of that cup. That blood gives us mercy. We have a merciful high priest. It causes us to be merciful. God is training us up. Those that are under the blood of Jesus Christ, God is training us up to be kind and merciful. To be kind and merciful, that's something supernatural, because you have to be merciful to your enemy. You remember I told you about feeding me and allowing him to drink? Listen to how good and kind and merciful God was to Cain. Cain came to him, just like Joseph was to his brothers. Cain came to the Lord, and Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the land and from your face. I will be hidden. I will be a fugitive and aimless and an aimless vagabond in the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, a sevenfold vengeance, that is, punishment seven times worse, shall be taken on him by me." Mm-hmm. And the Lord set a protective mark on Cain, so that no one who found him, met him, would kill him. You remember I told you the earth had a lot of people out there during that time? Yeah. People heard what Cain did. You didn't want to kill your brother. You see, people hear what you're doing nowadays. But God put a mark on Cain, so if you kill him, if you're doing him anything, I'm going to get you. That's why I told you, don't try to kill your enemy. Don't try to kill these people. God's word tells you, thou shalt not kill. Doesn't it? But I tell you what, Cain, I'm going to do you just like what you is. I'm going to make you a false prophet. Let's just say the sign was he made Cain a false prophet. To this day, there's many antichrists in the world. There are many false prophets. That's why I told you, it's a lot of preachers and things out there. You remember, I said the Son of the Thunder wanted to call down fire on them. But see, that false prophet serves as a purpose, because what I want you to do, I want you to help me condemn sin in the flesh. I want you to draw these people away with false preaching and false doctrine. That's the devil that's been transformed to an angel of light. That's why I don't have a habit of telling you about this church or that preacher or whatever, because if you corrupt an evil, you need to bother him, because you all of y'all sons of the devil. Yes. Birds of a feather, what? So all those false prophets, they have a job too. Look at Jeremiah. He gave the false prophet a job. Go preach my word. But it's got leaven in that word now. Because that's to get the ones out of the churches. Just think how many people that would be in the churches of God trying to serve God. But we need the people who has this corrupt mind to be gathered together in a church that he's going to destroy you now. See, because they serve a false God. They're evil, and their tents are evil. That's why I say, God judges the church. He has to judge the churches. There are a lot of people in the churches that has that mark of Cain upon them that I told you they hate their brother, they hate the preacher, they hate everybody. They hadn't changed. But why should you mark them? But you should be able to judge them, though. You should be able to mark that person that's causing a division among you. You should be able to judge within the church. That's why you give the power to the judge within the church. Because this person is not obedient, and the church should be aware, don't have fellowship with that brother. You better watch it. The church does mock you now. But God's people are known by their love for one another, right? That's how God's people are known. And the book of John tells us, it's 1 John 3:11, that's the way that we know that we are known as his disciples, because our love for one another. But you remember I told you not to be naive? You can love somebody and you can love your enemies. Right? That's what God told you to do. But when God lowers the boom on you, I was loving you and I trusted you and I received you without doubt for dispensations. In other words, you say you was a Christian and I trusted you and everything. But God did this to you. And you know, back in the old days, that's how people thought. That's why Job's friend misjudged him. Because in judging, outward circumstances is not always the result of a person doing evil. So that's not the easiest thing to judge by. But when somebody was trying to trap you and ended up coming back on them, like they say, when somebody's digging a ditch for you and they end up falling in that ditch, you're not taking pleasure in it or whatever. You're not going to say, oh, that's goody for you. No, you don't take any pleasure in that. You don't take any pleasure in your brother or your sons or your children, your wife or husband or your people on the job, whatever, being a conniver and a schemer. You love them and say, man, I hate this happened to you. You don't take pleasure in it. God said he don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But you have to learn that comes a time where every tub has to sit on his own bottom. That what happens because there are two seeds in the earth, a good seed and a bad seed. And he says, you don't be not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and he slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works was evil, and his brother's was righteous. Now you can't turn a goat into a sheep. There are goats out there. Everybody's not going to be saved. Until you face that reality, it can't be the way you want it. You want a lot of things. That don't mean you will get what you want. What does God have? You have to have an understanding from God. The understanding has to be from God. That was where our reading scripture came from, the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. You remember I told you the purpose of this, the purpose of judging? That God has to, and I'm like a doctor, somebody else, as a prophet tells you, when you see these things happening, that you could be aware of what's happening to you, what God's working or doing in your life. We have to become as Jesus, as a root out of dry ground. We have to be just like Jesus, and that's what conversion does. That's what the church does. That's what preaching and teaching does. That's what walking in the way does. We learn from the mistake of Abel that we be of a quick understanding. Listen at this. Out of a stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. Abel was slain because his works was righteous. So if we start doing those righteous works, Satan is going to come up against us. You have good testimony, Satan is going to come up against us. But we must be just like Jesus Christ. We must spring from that root, from that foundation, from that house of David, from Christ, from our Lord. in our works. He's going to give us an understanding. He's going to give us wisdom and knowledge. We're not going to be deciding just from appearances. We're not going to be deciding from what we hear or something. It's the Spirit that's going to lead us and guide us in all truth. He's preparing us to be judges down here. And we are in a preparation period, so we must learn to be merciful, to do good and to enact justice. God's people are not passive, just sitting back and not doing anything. They're standing up, they're moving forward, they're helping those that are being oppressed. They're helping those that are being exploited. So it's, if you're not doing anything, that you have a dead faith. Your faith is dead. Because if you've been born again and you have that faith, you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you're growing in that righteousness so you will do more works and even greater works.
Amen.
You're not going to stand still, because in Christianity, standing still is going backwards. You got to press forward toward the mark, because your tree is not bearing fruit, and a true Christian brings forth fruit even in old age. You're not like a tree planted by... Some of the fruit, sweetest fruit, is going to be on those trees.
Praise God.
It's going to be strong enough to bear a lot of fruit. See, that's why it's a lot of problems. You know, old people, you see old people, 60, 70, 80, 90. You look at Bernie Sanders. That guy, he can move, can't he? He's in good shape because God has him rooted and grounded. The reason a lot of these grandparents can take care of the grandkids and everybody else, they're rooted in God, because God knew the children couldn't stand, and he knew the daughter wasn't no good and the son wasn't no good. So he made that grandparent able to raise them children and the grandchildren.
Amen.
And as you get older, you still can make wise decisions. You quicken understanding. You can't pull the cover over a lot of these people of God. Don't care how old they are, they still got their understanding. But you got some feeble-minded fools, though. They owe because they've never learned in God. They can't keep it together because God didn't place them to do that. God is equipping you for a reason and a purpose. Don't be naive. You have to be able to call a spade a spade. You have to be able to render righteous and just judgment. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. When Satan see that spirit of fear in you, he will call to check you on that. He will check you on that. That's why Solomon was observant, and that's where he learned a lot of wisdom. You have to have that submissive attitude. That submissive attitude. Submission. You remember I told you that was a key to understanding? The book of Romans, the 13th chapter, first verse. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, granted by his permission. And those which exist have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists governmental authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who have resisted it will bring judgment of civil penalties on themselves. For civil authorities are not a source of fear for people of good behavior, but for those who do evil. Do you want to be afraid of authority? Unafraid of authority? Do what is good and you will receive approval and commendation, for he is God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, you should be afraid, for he does not carry the executioner's sword for nothing. He is God's servant and avenger who punishes the wrongdoer. But, listen to this. What happens when we have a nation such as we have throughout the world? This nation, Russia. All of the nations, you see the governments falling, is because the governments are corrupt. This nation's government is thoroughly corrupt. The state and the city governments are thoroughly corrupt. So if you are law-abiding citizen, as I tell you, we should be subject to governmental authorities. We should be subject to the police and the rulers. Who then judges those rulers and police that are evil and doing wicked? It is God, because God had put him in place. Because remember I told you he gave Satan the keys to the jail? But Satan's problem is that his rulers and people are corrupt. That's why they hung Jesus on a tree. That government of Satan, that was their greatest mistake. Jesus obeyed authority. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was an innocent man. What happened when government put that innocent man to death? That blood that they shed fell upon us. We're covered by that blood. Now we have an inheritance back in the earth. We're back in charge. God is raising us up to rule and reign on the earth because Satan has been defeated. He took away all power and authority from it because Satan abused that power. Now, Satan abused that authority. So this world is passing away. Every governmental system you see is passing away because it was of the satanic one. God's government is rising up, and God's people are rising up to run that government during the millennial reign. So it is God that's ruling and reigning. He's judging throughout the church, throughout the world, and this is the day of the Lord, and great tribulation is coming up on the world. And he says he didn't pray for the world. He says he's prayed for us. And we should receive that prayer through faith and rise up and do the works that he has given us to do. Humbly, submissively, and walking in the knowledge of the scriptures. Quick in understanding. That's why I said Abel was naive, or else he would have known the scriptures. Listen at what they would be doing in the last days as I close. This is a conclusion. The book of Jude says, but these people scoff at things they do not understand. That's the world and those in church that don't have an understanding that's been opened up by God. That's both in the church and in the world. That's in judging others. You have to see that they're all blind and the blind is leading the blind. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them. And so they bring about their own destruction. They are led by the flesh. They are carnal-minded. And that flesh is enmity against God. So it's going to be the false religions. It's going to be the world fighting and destroying itself. God's people will remain neutral. What sorrow awaits for them? For they follow in the footsteps of Cain. They following after that murderous Cain who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. And like Korah, they perish in rebellion because they are not subject to the authority of God. They think that they are equal to God's leaders. They think they're equal to God's people, but they're following this strong delusion. God has produced this strong delusion. Remember I told you to read and study Proverbs?
Yes.
Proverbs 14 and 7. If Abel would have knew that scripture, it says, with a quick-tempered man acts foolishly and without self-control, and a man of wicked schemes is hated. So we don't want to be around those angry people, the people with a quick temper. That's why Peter that was part of the sifting Peter had to do, was to get that nature out of him, to put that part of him to death. A lot of times we get angry too quick, too fast, and we plot and scheme on people. You remember I told you about associations? Proverbs 22 and 24 said, do not even associate with a man given to angry outbursts or go along with a hot-tempered man. Never be in the company of that person. Man, you like to get us killed or something. Somebody do something, you go to hollering and shouting going on. Somebody be shot and kill you or something. Anything could happen. They'll go turn against you the same way. An angry man. God tells us to be angry and sin not. Because that's part of our nature that we should be suppressing. We should be mortifying that part of the nature. So there are plenty of mistakes that we can learn from other people in the Bible if we want to live a long and prosperous life. He said, I'll give you life and give it to you more abundantly. If there's eternal life in his word, and if we follow God, we follow his word, we can learn from others' mistakes.
Yes.
We can learn even from righteous Abel. who did nothing but maybe might have been naive. He might not have been judgmental enough. All those things God had given man, who's very complicated and wonderfully made, but he had made us and he knoweth us. Let's not be one given to mistakes. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God.